there might be some truth to it that he who humbles himself shall be exalted. My beloved people, the first thing that I wish to bring to your attention this morning is, of course, that Wednesday of this week is the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Mother and is a holy day of obligation. And the Masses are as listed in the bulletin. Also, on Wednesday of this week, we will have the baptism of the Cover family at 2:30. And anyone who is free and is able and interested is certainly free to be here for the, is most welcome to be here for this occasion. This I consider as a very great blessing upon us, that an entire family is being baptized. I encourage you also to remember that we are in the process of the novena of Masses to the Holy Ghost, and that we ask your additional prayers that God, the Holy Ghost, will listen to our request. First Communion class will follow this Mass this morning. As has been pointed out to you, I will address myself more directly to you, that this week, after the Feast of the Assumption, we are going to start work on the High Altar. And the Blessed Sacrament will not be on the High Altar for the next 2 or 3 weeks, probably. Don't know. And the tabernacle is going to be removed for the time that we are going to work on the altar. So for goodness sake, understand that we are working on the altar, and that's why the tabernacle has been removed. And that we are not following in the footsteps of others by moving the Blessed Sacrament and taking the tabernacle out of the church. We're simply doing this long enough for us to do the needed work around the altar. There's going to be quite a bit of hammering and so forth and so on. And the tabernacle has to be moved so that we can do the work around the tabernacle. So we are not following the way of the world, as might be suspected when people come in and say, oh, there they go, the tabernacle is gone, and they are no different from anybody else. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. As everybody knows, perhaps this morning's gospel is my favorite gospel of the year, and perhaps on the occasion of this gospel, if I happen to wax eloquent at any time ever, that I can wax eloquent most better on this particular gospel. And I'm not going to overlook what this gospel has got to say this morning. But I will not go about it in the way that everybody is expecting me to travel this morning, as I usually travel when this gospel comes around. Of course, we know the mentality of the Pharisee, and of course, we know the mentality of the publican. And of course, we know who was acceptable and who was not acceptable. But this morning's gospel with the publican and the Pharisee has to do with prayer. The longer we work with the condition of things in today's world, and the more we listen to the remarks and to the observations of the people that come into contact with us. And these people, my beloved ones, are coming to us literally from all parts of the world. And with the assistance of the so-called fax machine, we get faxes even way into the night. Coming from, we had one the other night, all the way from Australia. Of course, when it was the middle of the day in Australia, it was the middle of the night in Alabama. But that didn't seem to faze the good man who was sending the fax. A prominent man, a man hearkened to by a lot of people. And there are many such men that are in prominence today. I think I told you, or mentioned to you, I don't like to use the word I told you. I think I mentioned to you the other day, or at least a time or so ago, that in our interpretation of Catholicity, the main thing being that we have lost the taste of Catholicity. We don't know how to think Catholic. But in the formation of our thoughts concerning Catholicity and the way a Catholic is supposed to be, it does appear that whereas we have had in the past two camps, the modern camp, which we have wandered away from because we cannot hold it, and the traditional camp to which we have wandered, to which we have gone, and have sought the help of the traditional camp. Unfortunately, in the traditional camp, the priestly leadership, I'm not criticizing the priestly leadership as such, because like all the laymen today, the priestly leadership that is prominent around and about also lacks Catholic experience. And as I think I said it in here, I'm not sure, but I certainly said it in front of the monks elsewhere, that strange as it may sound, with the exception of one or two, in this country anyway, not a single leadership, a traditional leadership priest in existence today in this country was born For example, when I entered the seminary, isn't that something? And whereas I said a moment ago, we have had up to the present time two camps of religious thought, it is a beginning to appear rather clearly that there is a third variety of Catholicism that is beginning to show its very ugly head. You might say that it is a reasonable outcome of the continuous and continual argumentation and debating that the people have become tired . They have forgotten how to be Catholic on the one hand, and they hear this constant bickering back and forth, and they have come to the conclusion, and it is being promoted today, that the best thing for me to do is to simply stay at home. And now you might begin to hear, and you probably will hear, the term, they got it from the homeschoolers, the term home aloners. And this variety of religion, Catholicity, as you can certainly well imagine, can take off in any direction, like a bunch of leaves being scattered by a windstorm. You might think that I'm exaggerating. Only this past 4 days ago, to be exact, the letter was written on August the 7th, to be precise, by a very prominent traditional leader in this country today. Who, in answer to a certain request, theological request that was made, now keep in mind, a very prominent traditional leader in this country today, well-read leader, in answer to the question that was posed to him, he did some checking. And he quoted the source of his answer. He questioned this other individual about the same question, about the same issue. And the answer that, this is the professional answer now, please keep in mind that this is a professional answer that was given to answer a serious, serious issue. And the professional answer came from the other party and was used by the first party in answering my question, Are you following me so far? The answer coming from the second party to the first party was this. I think I heard it someplace that so-and-so. That was the answer of the second party. And the first party used that as a reference point. Professionally speaking, to answer the question, I heard it someplace. Now, I have to say that that's pretty pathetic. And I think you will agree. If that's the deepest that we can go, if that's as shallow as we insist on remaining, it is good that the wind is blowing us away. Why did I go into that? Because even in places that you would not dare expect to find it, we have wandered. We have wandered far, far away from the point of center with reference to what we're supposed to do as Catholics and what we're supposed to believe as Catholics. And whatever else is supposed to be according to this word called Catholic experience. And we fully realize that our greatest work in order to achieve sanctity has to be prayer. And what is prayer? Prayer is a lifting up of our souls and hearts and minds in the direction of the voice. You're going to hear, we're writing right now, we're going through, as you all know, through the Old Testament, and we're trying to come up with some kind of an answer to explain the word magisterium. And we're going to find out that this is a very difficult term. And we're going to find out that it's going to take whatever number of thousands of years to be able to explain it. And in the process of the explanation of the word magisterium, and in the process of bringing us up to date from the moment of Eden till now, we're going to run into the word voice. It might come up in next week's bulletin, I'm not sure at the moment. And if you recall that the first real reference to the voice was when Moses approached the burning bush and the voice spoke to him. And so it is with us, that we are going to be hearing this all along. And it is to the extent that we can bring ourselves in union with what the voice which is the expression of the Word. The voice gives us the Word. To the extent that we are able to become united with the Word. And man has to learn this. And man has to learn what to do. We speak of this in here. And we've also cautioned that it is not a matter of what to do. It is a matter of how to do that which we ought to do. That not really what we ought to do, but what we must do. In too many places today, our holy religion has degenerated, a holy traditional religion has degenerated into a set of rules. I know of one place, prominent place too. It is not an obscure place. I know of one place in this country that has a school. Children go to school. Before you, before we will accept your child into our school as a student, you have got to sign. Pay attention. You have got to sign this list of promises, 15 pages of them. You have got to sign this list of promises in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, exposed good grief. That has only been done in the history of our church. In the case of public heretics. But before you can come into my school, and even into my church, in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament exposed, you have got to sign these rules and regulations. My beloved people, is this Catholicity? It would be easier for me to have become a naturalized citizen of the Nazi regime than to become a member of such a church. And we have forgotten because this is what we meet up with. We have forgotten how to pray. We have not been taught how to pray. It is much more important to understand what it is I have to do in order to be a bona fide member of this establishment and to be given the benefit of the sacraments of this establishment. It is far more important for that than it is for me to know. I think the ceiling is still up there. Than it is for me to know how to address myself properly to my God. And we find ourselves, if you'll excuse my dragging in the poor old Pharisee at this point, and we find ourselves developing the attitude of necessity. It becomes a necessity. And we find ourselves developing the attitude that in order to be able to be given permission to enter the church, I am forced to say, I say this prayer, I say that prayer, I fast twice a week, I pay tithes about whatever, I do so on and so on and so on. I have to do this. Almost have to swear to it so that I can become an acceptable member of this church establishment. It's not right in anybody's book. And this is not just peculiar to one place, but peculiar to many places today. And we find that here, instead of learning from the pulpit, what must I do? Not as an act or a rule that I must follow, what must I do to be able to come into contact with that voice that we are going to hear about? And I am not going to ever be satisfied spiritually, intellectually, or any other way. I am not ever going to be satisfied in this life. I'm going to be restless forever in this life because my one concern must be not the signing of a whole bunch of ridiculous rules and regulations. My one concern has to be, what must I do in order to get the ear of my God, whom I must love with every ounce of energy that exists within me? That I must know what to do to love this God, and that I must understand that the love of this God does not put me on the end of a chain as we put a dog, but that the love of this God, if I can love him the way I should, if I can bring myself around to love him the way I should, if I am taught to love him the way I should, then and then only I know what it feels like to be free. There is nothing that I know of that will give us the freedom that we desire, that we need. Then the freedom that the love of God will give us. This is urgent. This is truly urgent. Because as if you look, and it's a good thing you don't have to. It really is a good thing you don't have to bother. It's a good thing your ears are sealed to this. And I hope they stay sealed. That it has become a matter of what I think is right and what you think is wrong. And those of you who receive several sundry traditional communications that are being put out in today's mail, can you find me any two such publications, just any two, willy-nilly? Can you find any two of these that agree with each other? Just this other day, we received, you probably will get one too, many of you. Just the other day, we received a publication. And for the article written, I think my number is correct. If it's incorrect, it's just incorrect, that's all. But just for a magazine article alone, over 280 references were given for the writing of that article. Number one, it would be more than a lifetime's energy to read that many articles of references. And the listing of the references took up more space in the magazine than the article itself. You see, the more references we give, the more credible we think becomes that which we've got to say. Maybe we are at the other end of this rainbow in the sky. Maybe it's because we are ignorant. Maybe it's because we're lazy. Maybe it's because we are anything you would like to think of us. But we don't give any references to what we have to say. Maybe that's dangerous. I don't know. You see, we too are confused. Because we do know the way we're supposed to proceed, but that this is not the procedure that we are being faced with today. And the people become ever more confused about what they are supposed to do when they enter the temple of God. The temple of God is not necessarily just this place right here. The temple of God is your automobile. The temple of God is your living room. I'm not trying to be vulgar or crude. The temple of God is your bathroom. The temple of God is you and me. And this is what we've got to keep in mind when we have to deal with anything that comes to us, that faces us in all of the vicissitudes of life. When our feet touch the street, and I've got to know what to do, I've got to know how to do, and an excessive amount of piety, an exaggerated amount of prayers, of whatever, is not what makes me holy. There are those that say the more prayers you say, the holier you become. That is pious piffle. You can add that word to your vocabulary. It is better. And I'll have to quit after this, otherwise I certainly will have a penance. It is better for me to forget all of my prayers . It is better for me even to stay home from Mass on Sunday and with a loving heart perform one act of holy, selfless, humble obedience. I want you to listen to that one thought. I made a mistake when I read the gospel this morning, but it was a slip of the tongue. That spoke the truth. That he who humbles himself will indeed be exhausted. My precious, beloved people.